natural ability that's you can't coach. It's hard to coach.
For me, he's one of the most talented players in the country.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Subscribe to the Rugby Channel on the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications now.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
Vinnie Perth is with us. Vinnie, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. We were salivating about the performance of Jack Byrne last night. We only saw the highlights, right? But the goal and the pass, I don't know which is better. They're both absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent last night. I was at the game, obviously, and it's interesting because it's amazing. The goal will take away from a couple of things, but I think obviously, he missed so much football. It's taken him a little bit of time to find his feet back in the league. And there was moments last night of his brilliance, and there was moments where he was a little bit rusty. So,
right.
which is good. But take nothing away from the goal and some of his passes, obviously, and the way Rovers play really suit him. And he was very good. He's not back to his best yet. So. That's the scary part for the rest.
Well, for anybody who hasn't seen the goal, we can roll the goal. We'll start with the goal and then we'll get on to the pass. So the commentary on this was really interesting because they were saying that he'd been calling for the ball and hadn't got it a couple of times. Actually, we're starting with the pass here. So the pass is kind of a slide rule, and then it's an excellent finish. That's after 20 minutes, right? He's that number 10. We've had a lot of conversations about number 10 on the show.
Yeah, I'm not sure he plays number 10 for Shamrock Rovers. I think he plays a bit everywhere in the sense of he's very, it'd be wrong to use the word indisciplined, but he turns up in different positions. But a bit more in the 10 in these two instances last night. But the goal, the pass for Sean Gannon was brilliant. Gannon's running power as well helped. The defender just switched off, but he put it in a brilliant area. And then the goal just lightened up the game. It was a quiet night. So it's funny, the commentators were the other side of the pitch. And you could hear a lot in the game last night. It was quite a quiet night, even though there was just over 4,000 in the ground. So you could hear him constantly looking for the ball, driving the team on. And a lot of the play goes through him. That gives you strengths and weaknesses, obviously, in terms of the game. So
the sprinkler video has just inadvertently come on.
The third piece of highlights from last night.
Yeah, and I suppose that sums up the league, doesn't it? There's flashes of brilliance and there's other moments where I wish we could do things a little bit better. And I think someone like Jack Byrne takes it to another level, and we've got to get all the other parts around the league right.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think the sprinkler thing, everything was taken in the spirit of it happening, these things happening. You know, there's like dogs on pitches in every sport in the world. There was it happens in the NFL, so But to go back to Jack Byrne, right? Like, how long would it take him, do you think, to get up to the level that he's capable of in terms of being able to dominate the way he has done in this league in the past?
No, like, don't get me wrong. At times last night he dominated the game. So, but he obviously
fitness he has to build up.
Yeah, it's fitness. It's match. It's we use the word in football a lot now. You hear rhythm. You need to find your rhythm. Understanding the movement of players, and he just hasn't played in such a long time. He obviously went away, it didn't work out, he picked up the injury and then came back to Rovers, and it's pre-season and it's never the same. But I think they've been benefited of playing UCD at home and draw at home, with all due respect, to were two easier games where you'd expect them to win. They did. He did a bit of time on the ball last night and he made the most of it. So their challenge, Rovers' challenge, will come over the next couple of weeks. They have a couple of tougher games, but the advantage of having now four games under his belt between the President's Cup and the league games mean he's getting very close to his best again, and he's got the passing range and he can light up the league, and we need people like Jack Byrne.
But you know that people are going to go and watch the next game just to go and see him now because of those highlights doing the rounds, and that's again the benefit of the streaming that's come in, that every game is going to be the footage is going to be there of every major incident. So you hope that it just builds a sense of anticipation around the league. The other thing that's really important was that they lost against Derry.
Yeah.
Like, if they'd beaten Derry and they were 9 points, three games, you'd be like, it's great that there's a good team in the league who's playing football like that, but it's brilliant that Derry beat them.
Yeah, I think I'm caught in two minds. I've seen them against Pats where they weren't that good. Pats should have beat them in the President's Cup. They were just okay last night. I think the management will feel the huge improvement. They were only okay. But At the same time, they won the game, they won it comfortably. So there will be a little bit of let's wait and see. I still think Rovers will dominate the league this year. I think the Derry result is good. It gives momentum to Derry in terms of the Brandywell being sold out, and it gives the league an interest. But I still think Rovers will dominate it. Their bench, their squad is phenomenal. Bourke hasn't started a game, and for me he's up there. He's not far behind Jack Bourne as the best player in the league.
Can they play together?
Yeah, of course they can. They have done, and I think they will do. Graham's, whatever's going on there, we don't know whether he's got a bit of an injury or whatever. He hasn't started a game, but they've got real talent, and I think that will come true in the bigger games. And they'll, as I said, they'll find a rhythm, and I think they're still way ahead of everybody, albeit I think they've started the season slow from what I've seen of them.
How much is Jack Byrne benefiting from an interesting career so far, from the Manchester City Academy to the Netherlands to Cyprus and back home at the age of 25 only at this point? Has that given him a maturity beyond most 25-year-olds, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you speak to him, I spoke to him a couple of times, and you get the impression he's someone who's, what's the word I'd use, experienced in the sense of he hasn't had it all easy, but he's also been around a lot of top people, top players. He would have been around Foden and Sancho, two huge world names, but he would have been around them growing up. Another guy, Will Patching, in the league. Those sort of four were the ones that City really earmarked as the next players. So I think the experience as well of going to, I think it was Oldham, and it was really poor and it didn't go well for him, it was a bad club, makes you realise actually the grass isn't greener on the other side sometimes. That League 1, League 2 football in England can be difficult. Now we know there's some huge clubs there, Sunderland's and Wigan, but he's probably better suited to a more technical game. And sometimes you wax lyrical about League of Ireland and people on the outside go, what are they talking about, when you see the likes of the Sprinkler doesn't do us justice. But we have got a very technical game, and it suits people like Jack. We've seen that with European results over the last couple of years, so it suits them.
The other results have been kind of inconsistent. So Bowes beat Pats beat Shells. Shells won their second game. That's going to happen over the early part of the league, and I kind of feel a little bit like we need that doubt and that. Or would you prefer to see a block of teams who are season on season always progressing, getting better and more dominant?
Yeah, I think I was in a couple of weeks ago and we were discussing the start of the league, and I said I didn't know where everybody was because there was so much change. The Bowles team lost basically the core of their team right down the spine of it, and they've started the season quite well, a win and a draw. So I think we're seeing that in the results, as in it is topsy-turvy, for want of a better word. It's only a couple of games, but you see someone like Finn Harps, they've got to go to Dublin on a Friday and then back down to Dundalk on a Monday. You always knew they're going to struggle last night. So you're seeing the full-time team should get the advantage of the Friday-Monday. Hasn't necessarily worked out, but it's one of them. Like albeit I think Rovers will dominate the league, the team that has most impressed me was Sligo on Friday night against Pats. They were outstanding on Friday. I didn't see the game obviously last night, but he went up to Derry and got a point. They've had two games, 4 points. So it's funny, it's early, it's only two or three games, but momentum for a team that's average is the wrong word, but another point, they're just under the momentum is huge, and to be in 7, 8, 9, 10 points after 4 or 5 games can carry you all the way through a season, believe it or not. Sometimes you just go on a run and it just doesn't stop.
Well, teams get confidence, they feel like they're a part of a movement, everything makes sense.
And pressure, like you take Bowles for example, it's a small point, but Shelbourne, they're on 4 points, drawn on 0. It's already a cushion and it's only 2 games. Yeah. And I know that's, and that's the mindset of footballers in dressing rooms, it's a cushion.
Yeah, the Shelbourne story is obviously very interesting. It's garnered a lot of attention. Duffer's, he's a figure in world football because of the a career that he had, and it's great that we're starting to see some of that generation of players come back, and it would be great to see some of them, more of them, come back and get involved too.
Once they leave jobs for other people, of course.
There's plenty of jobs to come.
All right,
right?
No. Yeah, no, it's amazing, like, isn't it though, the interest in the league. Really? I mean, again, going back to Richmond Park on Friday night, I went in, and I normally do the Brian Kerr thing where you pay in and go over to Camock, and I actually couldn't watch the game from the camera because it was too packed,
right,
which was amazing. I had to go back around the main stand and sit down the back. So there's a huge interest in the league. I think people like Duffer add to it, but I also think there's a huge momentum coming, and I think it's important we build on it. Don't overplay it, but at the same time build on it as best we can.
Where's the momentum coming from? What's the...
I think the likes of Jack Bourne's goal, I think the European success teams have, I think people, the neutral, see, sometimes us League of Ireland people think we're great and we're doing everything, and we get annoyed about plane loads of people travelling to the UK. I think that's wrong. I think we're at a bit of a crossroads where stadiums are becoming full, but they're only full of 3,000 and 4,000 people, and we're missing something along the way. The exposure in the league has been brilliant. Like, to be fair, yourselves, people are doing shows after games. I'm not sure, or the Friday night Nathan stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure. I haven't listened to it yet. I'd be worried to listen to it. But but like, if you look at the national coverage we get, it is huge in the league in terms of the papers and etc. We just need to improve our grounds. We need to make it more accessible to kids. And I think we need to try a couple of different things. Maybe try a Thursday night game live on TV. Because if you look at, say, Dublin, there's so many Dublin clubs. There's a lot of neutrals floating around there that will go to a big game. If it was, for example, a Thursday night. And people need to be open to these ideas and just
build
on
them. Are they open? Is that your sense? Because I was listening to Dan and Johnny talking to a couple of the academy directors. And the lads were getting on. I've completely blanked on the names now, but it was the Cork and Rovers Academy directors who were in chatting to the lads, and they had been through, they'd seen everything, they'd seen the boom and the bust of the league as players and individuals, and now it seems like they are definitely in the vanguard of people who are trying to push things forward, but there definitely seems to be some kind of blockage or lack of joined up thinking, and I don't know what that is.
I think when you look at football, it's no different than God, I've no interest in one sense in GEA, but all I heard you was talking about was Plan B, Plan A, and it got into my head. And it's the same. It's the politics of sport is no different between GEA, rugby, and soccer. We have got a new sort of pathway being created. It's not perfect, but the FAI have come out with their strategic plan. It is very vague, but at the same time, it's something to work on. And I think we need to sort of, I suppose we need to work together and make the league better. There is blockages, there is the school by section, there is the League of Ireland section. But I think when you see, particularly someone who's been involved in, say, European campaigns, you can't walk through a street in Dublin without people talking to you about it. It's a real interest. It's like people's guilty pleasure League of Ireland sporting people. They sort of follow a team,
yeah,
but they don't really, but they talk about it at work and don't really, and it's how we capture that and sort of cut out the bullshit a little bit and start getting on with people. And sometimes some hard decisions have to be made, and I think some of them have been made to a point.
To go back to the stuff on the field of play, the quality seems to be improving. What's that down to?
The one thing I'm certainly not as an FAI spokesman, or I'm not going to say the FAI haven't made huge errors, but the coach education, our coaches in Ireland at the moment are as good as most around the world. You mentioned Damien Duff. I went on to it. We'd done a pro licence together. There was 20 odd coaches. We went to FAI or UEFA headquarters as part of the seminar with our pro licence, and anything we put on or anything we produced as a group was as good, if not better, than most there. And you look at the talent of coaches, Rory Higgins, Stephen O'Donnell, Tim Clancy, Stephen Bradley, all young enough guys. It's not, you know, not knocking what went before it, but it's all new. They've come through the coach education, pro licence coaches are there on their pro licence, and there's a forward thinking. And I think the world has got smaller. You were talking about analytics earlier on. It's all of this has come together and it's merged, and we've become a really technical game. And I think you've only to look at the European results and go, take that Dundalk team, and most people will go on and on about what happened the last couple of years, but we probably, it's funny, as a coach you remember the ones that got away, not the success And we should have knocked out Vitesse Arnhem, who were still in the European competition. Rapid Vienna, they knocked out in the last round. And we should have knocked them out. So we're there. We just need a shot in the arm. We need a hand. Whether that's true, you look at what the council have done in Tala, whether it's the government, whatever. We need something just to help us, that little last little step.
And it's the shot in the arm for the teams that are already succeeding. Like, I mean, the other Dundalk comparison that was obviously doing the rounds at the start of this season was with Sheriff Tiraspol and when they were beating Real Madrid. Like, so what needs to happen with those teams? Or is there a common thread that you've seen with those teams who do get good European results, and in Dundalk's case go on these great European odysseys, and then maybe fall back to the pack a little bit? What's happening there in those situations, do you think?
Yeah, it's hard to build momentum in that sense and go on and on. You can in some ways outgrow your league, and that will be the problem. But there can only be one team that win a league every year. It's the same in all leagues all over the world. And people had a big fear that Dundalk were going to dominate for years and years, and maybe we should have, and maybe I'm partly responsible we didn't. But it doesn't happen. History and sport tells you it doesn't happen. There's always someone. For example, that Dundalk team under Stephen Kenny was always known as the fitness team, and they were. And we had a strength and conditioning coach, and now everybody has a strength and conditioning coach, so everyone catches up. So it's about the challenge for Rovers now, stay ahead of the pack. But I think if we can bring a lot of young players are coming through. We look at the Irish international squad, and so many of them, 50-60% of them, have some sort of a League of Ireland background. So we are the league is important to the senior international team, and I think we're starting to see joint up thinking within the FEI. Obviously Stephen is coach, but not just that, the underage coaches have a real link with academy managers, and they know what's going on, they know who the next talent is under 15s, 17s, 19s, and there is pathway. Look, we've huge amount of improvement, but I think the biggest improvement we will need to make is facilities and how people train. It's the most participated sport in the country, and we're just way behind everybody else.
Yeah, once the power is unleashed, it's going to be unstoppable. That's the thing. It's like it really feels like a few strategic investments would make a huge quantum leap forward.
But you'll sit in here in a couple of years and you'll say, you'll have a discussion from a journalist maybe from Iceland or from North Macedonia, how did you do it in football? And they took some hard decisions, and it took some time, and it took 4, 5, 6, 8 years to build towards something great. And I'm not saying we're on that path. Who knows? We may have made mistakes, or there may be things wrong. But we have to start somewhere, and we have to upset a few people. Some people are going to be browned off, and we've seen that. We've seen that with the link, the schoolboys, and the League of Ireland clubs. But we have to start somewhere, and maybe 12 years' time or 16 years' time, we'll say, oh, that's when it started. And maybe an Irish journalist will be on a Macedonian radio station explaining how we done it.
Yeah.
Because we can't punch above our weight, no doubt about it.
I do think people want to go and watch. That's the other thing. Like, if Tala proves anything, if you build it, they will come. And that stadium gets used for multi-sports, multi-teams.
Yeah.
And there's an opportunity there, like, it'll be really interesting to see.
If there was one little error, and I'm reluctant to be critical of Tala, it's amazing. If there was one little error, I'd say, being from Tala, is that it's probably not multi-use enough.
Right.
So one of the main stands, for example, if the council were building that again, could they have built a boxing club underneath the stand? So it's used all week for the community, and people will get a better sense of community. Or the Irish Dancing, even, for argument's sake, club uses that in the evening time. That would be the only little criticism of Tala. But it's amazing that the local council have supported a local club. And when I was going to the game last night, travelled from City West down, you see people coming out of housing estates, kids, and even on a Monday night, that's what we want. If there was 100 kids there watching the game last night, they weren't on the streets wrecking their heads at the guards, were they? They were doing what we want them to do. And particularly on Friday nights and big games, you see them coming out of the local areas, Springfield, Kilnardon, Jobstown. I grew up in Kilnardon, so I'm allowed to say, difficult areas. But that community has something, a beacon, them lights. If you're ever up in Tala, because it's built onto a hill, the lights of Tala Stadium, and I don't want to sound real grand here, but
no,
they do light up the area.
Yeah.
They do. And I think it's a bit of hope, and other councils can learn from it. We see, you know, the RSC in Waterford is a really good facility. There's not enough of them around, and I know we're trying with Daly Mount and Tolka, and that's a whole big other issue, but we need councils around the country to help us.
Two small atmospheric stadiums that are full every week would be class, because as we saw from was it Ireland Luxembourg, that stadium was like 6,000 or 8,000. The stadium, the atmosphere was class.
Well, I watched Linfield and Nairn in Windsor Park, and I've taken Dundalk to Windsor Park. Windsor Park is the best, and I've played games in the Aviva Stadium, Tallaght Stadium. Windsor Park's the best ground on the island. It is an amazing theatre. You would think it's a 30. As a player of being in big stadiums,
right.
It's just the amphitheatre, the way it's designed. I've been to some grounds all over Europe, 12,000 in Estonia. I think it's only an 8,000 seater, but you feel like you're in a stadium the size of the Aviva. Clever building, not mad money, can get really good stadiums. And I think, as you said, two or three stadiums. Going back to the point, some people got to take a bit of pain and maybe lose out on a stadium and share with somebody else. And no reference to Tolka Park or Daly Mountain, that one, trust me, because I think the two of them should stay, in my opinion. But we do need to make some big decisions and get some better stadiums. And people go on about, oh, why aren't games on TV? I think it's more than that. To be fair to the likes of RTE or whoever, they're probably setting up the cameras on the top of chip vans at this stage. We've got to do better with our facilities first, and then we can complain about coverage.
I do want to ask you about Sligo and the quality of their performances. You were at the game. Pats were coming off the back of was it impressive? It's hard to know because the weather conditions were so terrible against Shells, and Shells were decent in parts of that game. But it was a 3-0 win. You're always going to take that, and they would have bounced into that game pretty confident on the back of what happened last season. Obviously, a new management, but at the same time, the core of that team, some of those most important players still there. So a big win for Sligo on Friday night.
Yeah, I thought that. As I said, it was the most impressive I've seen. Aidan Kenneth started up front for them, and he'd lost John Kenny to Celtic, and I was a little bit worried. But they were excellent, and the one thing about them was, it sounds pretty basic, but they were so organised, so fit early in the season. Adam McDonald in midfield, just brilliant, really ran the game for them, and they just look like Will Fitzgerald, Carl O'Sullivan from Finn Harps look like he's benefited going full time. And so many of these clubs are full time now. I think the advantage of that, we've got real athletes in the league now, and they were really impressive. I haven't seen them last night, obviously, but 4 points out two, if they win effectively the game in hand, we'd be talking about someone who's had the best start of the season.
Well, I was going to say it's 4 points from two games, but it's two tough games.
Yeah,
like away to Pats and Derry, who we expect to go pretty close this season. So
yeah, and it's sometimes, as I spoke earlier on about momentum, sometimes momentum just carries you. You go on a run, and as a footballer you believe you're 10 foot tall. I remember when I played at Longford Town, we just had a year or two where everything just went, and you just felt, you know, when a cup came along, we knew we were going to win.
Yeah.
And it just happens. And if we knew why, the psychology of sport, we'd be very rich people. But Sligo, really impressive. They haven't overly changed their squad compared to others. And maybe that's an advantage at the start of the season as well, if you think of other changes, so many changes in other squads.
Is success for Shelburne staying up, is that enough for...
It's not enough for Duffer, obviously, but it is success, I think. Yeah, I think the full-time element of some of the other clubs, Derry, Pats, Sligo, means that it is difficult, particularly when you go Friday, Monday. I watched them against Pats, and I know people felt that they created some chances, etc. It just looked like Pats were a level above full-time. They just looked a level above Shelburne, but I think staying up and building that club back up to where it belongs is the best route for them.
It's not an overnight thing, it's not a one season thing, like it's definitely going to take time.
Yeah, I think so, and I think you just have to look some of their players, like, as well, the young players. Young Moylan was at Wexford last year, Eric Dervin was at Longford. They just look like players who need another season Premier Division football and grow from there, and I think that's the importance of it. And albeit Duffer will have usually high standards, I think fourth, fifth in the league would be real success for them.
Just to go back to Sligo for a second, because you were talking about the stadiums there and the sort of the Luxembourg example. Like, Sligo's probably going to be the redevelopment of the showgrounds is going to be that one, isn't it? Like, 6,000 seater stadium. They've got their sports capital grant announced last month, and also the fact that it is this base outside of Dublin, which could become a real hub for people in the west of Ireland. I don't want to put Galway into that category, but yeah, outside of Galway in the west of Ireland, with this shiny new stadium which is going to have live action on a Friday night.
Yeah, and I think Sligo deserve huge credit because they had got some success earlier on in maybe 2000 and what was it, 6-7 around that time, and they invested the money into stands and it really is an impressive ground already. It's almost there. I think we played a Cup, FEI Cup semi-final there in 2019 and the atmosphere was huge. That is a town that has grabbed the football community. I think some of the GAA guys complain sometimes that they struggle with the soccer, don't they? I think I've heard that.
Yeah, that was Tony McAtee's line. Yeah.
Which is great. It's great for us. It's so not the norm around the rest of the country in terms of all right in the big cities. So I think Sligo, the way that the club is run, the finances are always well in place. The community get behind it. They seem to raise huge amount of money in fundraising. And actually, it's almost like they run it as a, for want of a better word, a GAA club to get the community behind it. And that's something that we've struggled in the football community to get people to buy into us in that same sense of a community. You get that real sense of community around GAA. Went to my first ever GAA game. It was up watching Kill. And a friend of mine took over the management of Kill. And he asked me what I thought of the game. And I was like, I'd love to coach this, you know, in terms of positional sense. And but I said to him, I couldn't get over the amount of people who walked from the village in to watch just a friendly game, and we don't have that same sense.
Well,
of community.
I think my experience of football is far limited compared to yours, but you do have all these little splinter clubs.
Yeah.
Like within a 5 mile radius of Shells, there's loads of little clubs that aren't aligned, and that's the problem, is that like all of the two GAA clubs, there's actually about five GAA clubs there, but they're huge. Yeah. And they're massive. Well, traditional superpowers.
Well, if I can, and it's a bigger discussion, but take somewhere like Tallaght, the back mountain of Tallaght, there's a club called Sacred Heart, there's Newtown Rangers, and there's Tallaght Town on the back of the hill. They all look over, and they've all got different amounts of funding. Tallaght Town had to do a lot of funding and really rebuilt their club, a couple of £100,000. Newtown Rangers put a new Astro turf down, 350 Sacred Heart, new Astro, two floodlit pitches, and now they're getting funding or they're close to funding. So the point to make is, if the council, the FEI and the people that run them clubs all came together, prime land for building,
yeah,
and said, well, we need to get rid of one ground or maybe two, and we will build one super ground,
yeah,
that we all share, one big clubhouse that if someone wants to use a meeting room, there's a printer, and we share, joined up thinking, and actually the council go and give them a hand, and all the funding is centralised instead of the parish pump element to it, where there's £100,000 for to give you, and it's nearly good.
Yeah.
And instead of one super facility at the top of Tallaght, for me, that's the way forward, but that takes big long-term decisions. And as I said, maybe in 8 years, 10 years time, we're producing footballers in Tallaght Hill because
this decision was made
by somebody.
Yeah. All right. Vinny, good stuff. Always thoughtful. Thanks a million for that. Who's going to win the league? Is it fairly obvious?
Yeah, I still think Rovers boy should win it. Will win it comfortably, but I just hope someone challenged them. We haven't had that enough.
OTB AM with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.